Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 6. It can be found on page 787 in your Bibles. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord be with you. You know, now that we've made the sharp right turn into summer in what seemed like the everlasting winter, I know that many of you have been hard at work getting your lawns looking beautiful and gorgeous over the last few weeks, and not wanting to be the house that gets the neighborhood side eye, which, you know, is real. Like, oh, you left your trash cans out for 2 days. Or you haven't taken your leaves away and it's November. I've seen those looks before. So we had 14 yards of mulch delivered on Memorial Day, and that's pretty much what we've been doing ever since. Nothing like having a 10-year-old who's ready to work, right? And we employed him for the healthy rate of $3 an hour, which I thought was incredibly reasonable. Sure enough, slowly by slowly, this enormous pile of mulch on the side of our house got lower and lower, and last Saturday, the job was finished, and our backyard and front yard look pretty decent now, except for this one tiny thing. When you look out into our backyard, there is a bit of an eyesore. It's about a 10-foot circle in the middle of our grass, in the middle of our backyard. And we have decided that it's going to look like that for the next 8 years or so. Because last summer, Kyle and I made the conscious decision to hand over the middle of our backyard to baseball. Because that is the spot where Micah stands, and there's a pitch back, which is pretty much a stand-in parent. You throw the ball at it and it bounces it back to you. And so Micah stands in the middle of our backyard, and he throws, on average, I'd say, about 1,000 pitches a day. And so this much hard, fought-for grass that had grown there, much to Kyle's efforts the years before, is now completely worn down to pure soil. And we have decided that it's totally worth it. You know, to the gardener, it's an ugly spot. But to us as parents, it's Micah's spot. And so he can have it for the next 8 years. We all have that place in our house, don't we, or in our yard? That wall that has perpetual fingerprints? The flooring that's been worn down just in that one spot? The water rings on a well-used kitchen table? And it's easy for someone like me, who can be a bit of a neat freak, just a little, right? I'm not getting any support on that one. To want to fix those spots, to want to plant the grass seed and to change the carpet and to repaint the table. But I am slowly learning that those are the places where life is lived. And in particular, those well-worn spots point to the rhythm of life that are familiar and good. I firmly believe that there is something about repetition that is good for the soul. That these well-worn, familiar things get better with age, just like all of us. It's the tried and true recipe that we know will never fail. It's the faithful friend that you can always call who you know will give good advice. And it's the scripture passage that is meant to be said over and over again. There's something about hearing something for the 76th time and noticing something in it for the very first time. Today we begin our summer series on the Lord's Prayer. And to many of you, it's a very familiar prayer, one that you've said since you were a child. And to others of you, it might be brand new. And so we're going to journey through the Lord's Prayer together, taking a bit of the prayer every week until we wind up on Labor Day weekend preaching on the word, Amen. Wherever you are in familiarity with this prayer, I'd like to invite all of us into the practice of repetition, so that by the end of the summer, this prayer is to us like that spot in our backyard, used daily, well-worn, and a place of joy. Because prayer is something that takes intention. If I'm not thinking about it, if I'm not practicing it, then it's really not happening. Why is it that the thing that so often we need to do is the thing that is the last thing that we do? And for some of us, that's what prayer is. It's the last thing that we do. It's the desperation prayer, or the, oh, I almost forgot prayer, or I guess I should pray about it prayer, or I'm praying in front of people so I better sound good prayer. Maybe it's the last thing we do because we're not entirely sure anyone is listening. And we've decided that we're going to figure this whole faith thing out and really figure out if there's a God before we pray, and maybe then we'll pray. Maybe for some of us, because of something that we've done in our past or something that we're ashamed of, we feel like God would never want to hear what we had to say. But Scripture tells us that we are created for prayer. We are created to have a connection with God, to be in full covenant relationship with Him. And as we know, simply by human relationships, they need communication, they need connection. I mean, it's great to have those friends that are like, oh, we don't see each other for years, but then when we see each other, we pick up right where we left off. I'm not entirely sure that principle works with God. Because yes, God is always there, but He desires us to be in connection with Him, and that takes prayer. Jesus knows all of this. He knows that we need connection with God, and not just once or twice, but we need the regular practice of speaking to God. And so in today's passage, He says, and when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, the assumption is that we are praying. And so maybe it's time to practice a little bit. The passage for today comes to us in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has covered a wide range of topics, including adultery and murder, to loving your enemies and caring for the poor. And chapter 6 marks the turn into prayer. And what I find so incredibly interesting about this passage is that this is about as practical as an often befuddling Jesus gets. This reads like a 5-step guide for investment banking. Go into a room, shut the door, pray these words. I think Jesus is spelling it out for us because He knows that it is so easy for us to become distracted, for us to become distorted and to become diverted, that He needed to spell it out for us, and that's exactly what He does. And yet still, I find that in my own prayer life, I like to wander a little bit. Lord, I like to pray in nature, or I like to write my prayers in a haiku form, or I like to form a prayer group. None of those things are wrong. All of those things are good. But I think sometimes when we get so caught up in the trendiness of prayer or in connecting with God, we forget to practice the fundamentals of prayer. And we stray far from the mound. If prayer is the practice of talking to God, then that is what we need to do. We must practice. We must continually make prayer this verb in our life that we are taking hold of and practicing over and over again. Jesus starts by calling out those who have strayed from the mound when it comes to prayer. They have made prayer about themselves, their glory, their holiness, their piety. These Pharisees had wandered far away from what prayer was all about. They had made it about them, and they were flaunting their holiness for everyone else to see. And so Jesus is calling them back to the bullpen. They had made prayer about their glory and not God's. And so it was time to return to what prayer is really about, a connection with God. And so right after giving instructions about where to pray, he gives instructions on how to pray. Jesus literally gives us the script. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus gives us the script because I think he knows that so often we cannot find the words. Or perhaps there are times when we have found too many. I love verse 7. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask." I'm reminded of preachers who, why say something in 5 words when you can say it in 20? But the extensiveness of our words and the fanciness of them is not what turns God's ear towards us. It's this simple script. I was reading this past week the fascinating lead article in the Fellowship Reformed Church newsletter. I can't remember who authored that. Oh. Anyway, it was brilliant. It was really well done. I'm just kidding. Quoting me, I was writing about my last sermon, just in case, on the off chance you didn't read it, which I'm sure you all did, but just in case. I was writing about my final assignment in seminary, and it was a simple 2-page paper on the Lord's Prayer. And I had all these other assignments, and so, of course, this 2-page paper was the one that I put off and the one that I did probably the fastest. But it's one of the assignments from seminary that I remember to this day. And so I wrote this: "It is the words of the Lord's Prayer that sought out in me the longing that I could not identify. It was the words that pulled my faith along. It was the recitation of the prayer that brought the comfort I needed." This was a new thought for me. Usually I'm pretty good putting my finger on my feelings, but there's something about reciting the Lord's Prayer that helps really pull you along to that spot where you find yourself in utter dependence of God. And to this day, when I find myself in that abyss, it is the Lord's Prayer that helps pull me out of it. Or maybe even more, it is the words of the Lord's Prayer that meet me in the abyss and remind me that we are never alone. It is the ritual, it is the practice of the prayer that often precedes any emotion, any desire, but this practice and repetition of the prayer gets me there. It reminds us of who God is. Jesus gave us the gift of the Lord's Prayer, not because he relies on it, not because God needs to hear it. God is God. Because he knows that we are more faithful and faith-filled when we rely on it and speak it. The Lord's Prayer keeps our posture humble, our words faithful, and God-centered. It is our script when we cannot find the words. It is our guide when we feel lost. It is our promise and hope when we are in despair. And in a frenzied world where prayer is often left to occasion or feeling, not practice and routine, it is so easy for us to step away from the mound and we forget our lines, and soon God feels farther and farther away. But we know that God is not far away, that he wants connection and communion with each and every one of us. But he hands to each and every one of us the beautiful gift of initiative. He wants us to start that connection to him. And honestly, what better thing for us to do than to connect with the living God? What possible excuse could we have not to reach out, not to simply start with these words and allow them to pull us along? Why is it that the thing we need most to do is the thing that so often becomes the last thing that we do? And when you pray. I'll never forget the last time I saw Bill Smith, a beloved member here for many, many years. And I wrote Marcia this week to ask if I could share this story with you, and she said yes. It was one of Bill's final days on this earth, and Nate and I had gone to visit him at Spectrum Hospital. Now, by this point on his cancer journey, Bill was having a hard time speaking, but you could tell that he wanted to say something. And so the chaplain wisely put a whiteboard in his lap and handed him a marker. And it took just about all the strength that he had. But soon the marker started moving northward on the board until it reached the word prayer. Now, I promptly lost it and said, "Nate, why don't you do that?" I was so grateful that he was there with me. I'll just never forget that moment. At the end of his life, the only thing that he wanted, the only thing that he needed, was prayer. And I would argue that at the beginning of our life, at the end of our life, and everywhere in between, the thing that we need more than anything else is a connection with God, is a return to pray. This summer, we would like you to commit yourselves to a daily recitation of the Lord's Prayer. And so we have two practices that we'd like to have you enter into this morning. I was thinking, I'm a very visual person, and I need a reminder daily to pray the prayer. And in staff meeting one day, we were talking about this, and somebody said, "Well, I don't really need anything because I have it memorized." I said, "Well, thank you so much, yes." "I do too, thank you. But I will forget if I don't have something in front of me." And we couldn't decide, should we do stickers or magnets or those clings that you can put on mirrors? So we did all three. Isn't it amazing? And we do have them at the Welcome Center, and we'd ask for you to take one per family. Put this in a place where you'll see it every day. And why limit yourself to once a day? When you see it, pray it. And notice what you notice. Again, sometimes it's the 76th time when you notice something for the first time. So I invite you to take one of these on your way home today. And the second thing is, you should have received a small sheet of paper on your way in today with the Lord's Prayer on one side and blank on the other. And maybe you noticed when you came in, there's six prayer walls that now line the outside of the sanctuary. And our goal is to fill those prayer walls by the end of the summer. And so we're going to begin today by writing a prayer in just a moment on the other side of the paper, and then rolling it up and then put it in one of the prayer walls. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, either on your bulletin or on that sheet, there are six movements of the prayer, and we've designed the boards to echo those six movements. prayers of adoration, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayers of surrender, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Prayers of petition, Give us this day our daily bread. Prayers of forgiveness, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Prayers for courage, Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And finally, prayers of blessing, For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. If you feel led, will you take the next 2 minutes or so and write a prayer on the back of that sheet? And there are some folks that will come around if you do not have a pen, or maybe you can snatch one out of the fellowship folder as well. I invite you to just take a couple minutes and write whatever God is putting on your heart on that sheet of paper. We'll close our time in just a few moments with the Lord's Prayer. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Repeat it over and over, so that in this well-born-in and well-loved prayer, that in this narrow and thin space, we may glimpse the glory of God. Amen.